Good morning. My name is Courtney Pierce. I work at Boston Medical Center. I'm a program manager there, and I manage the IMPED-OD study, which stands for the Intranasal Naloxone and Prevention Education's Effect on Overdose Study. It's a mouthful, so we call it the IMPED-OD study. And we're funded by the CDC, and we work in collaboration with the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. I have no financial disclosures to disclose, but I do have an off-label use. So naloxone is FDA approved, but Massachusetts uses naloxone with an intranasal spray and an mucosal atomizer device, and that is not FDA approved and considered off-label use. So I wanted to give you some background on Massachusetts. As you can see, the non-opioid related deaths have remained fairly consistent from 1990 to 2007. But you can see the all poisoning deaths have dramatically increased over the last 20 years, and that's being driven by opioid related deaths, overdose deaths. So in 1990, there were 94 opioid overdose deaths in the state, but by 2007, there were 637 overdose deaths. So that's a six-fold increase. Almost two people die a day in Massachusetts from an opioid overdose. And we now exceed death rates for 25 to 34-year-olds are greater for overdose than for motor vehicle accidents. We are also seeing a similar pattern for non-fatal overdose. So that's looking at inpatient hospitalizations and emergency department visits. So that's been a growing problem in the state over the last 20 years. So one novel approach to overdose prevention is overdose education and naloxone distribution programs. They're called OAND programs, and they're usually implemented by community-based HIV risk reduction programs or public health agencies. And what they do is they outreach to bystanders of people who are likely to witness an overdose, so that's active users, friends, family members of users, professionals, or other caregivers. So they outreach and they train people on how to prevent an overdose, how to recognize signs and symptoms of an opioid overdose, how to access emergency medical services, and then actually how to administer naloxone. And naloxone is a prescription medication with no abuse potential, which immediately reverses an opioid overdose. And it's a standard medical procedure for emergency services that are contacted during a suspected overdose. So in Massachusetts, naloxone is distributed through a medical director standing order. So that's similar to how flu shots are delivered. So there's one prescription in the state, and then it's administered or distributed through community health workers. So this allows for greater distribution to more bystanders because you don't have to go through a physician or a nurse. You can actually train community health workers and they can distribute naloxone. And the Boston Public Health Commission started the program in 2006 in September, and it was just in Boston and Cambridge from September 2006 to December 2007, and in December 2007, the Massachusetts Department of Public Health took over the program and implemented it in 8 sites across the Commonwealth. So the components of the program, so approved staff enroll bystanders into the program and distribute naloxone. There's also an hour training that usually goes along with it, and that's where they train people on the signs and symptoms of an overdose, how to call 911. So there's techniques to calls maybe police won't respond. So they teach people how to do that to engage the medical system. They also, if people are interested in treatment, they refer them to treatment. They distribute kits that include instructions on how to use the intranasal spray of naloxone, and they get 2 doses within the kit. They collect information at enrollment and at report back, and all that information is reported to the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. So this is a map that shows the 8 community sites where naloxone is being distributed in the state. So these sites include some of the highest burdened communities of opioid overdoses. But there's also several communities with high rates that do not have programs implemented in their sites. So this has allowed for a natural experiment to compare overdose rates, both fatal and non-fatal, across the Commonwealth in communities with high burdens of overdose, where program has been implemented versus where the program has not been implemented. And that's where our study comes in. So we are funded by, we're funded at Boston Medical Center by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It's a two-year study. We were funded in September 2009, so we're just entering our second year. And we're working in collaboration with the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. So our objective is to determine the impact these OEND programs are having on fatal and non-fatal opioid overdose rates in the state. Our methods, we have chosen 18 cities and towns in Massachusetts with the highest burdens of opioid overdoses. In that, we considered five or more unintentional or unrelated poisoning deaths in each year from 2004 to 2006. So these 18 cities and towns make up about 30% of the population of Massachusetts, but they contribute over half of the non-fatal and fatal overdose rates. And again, there's eight sites within these 18 communities where there's an OND pilot program. So data collection. At enrollment, our staff collect basic demographic information, so age, sex, race, ethnicity, substance abuse history, past 30-day substance abuse history, experience of overdoses in the past, have they overdosed, have they witnessed people overdosing. So if they're interested in treatment, also what is their treatment experience been? So they collect some basic information. And then when people use naloxone, they are asked to come back and to fill out a report back refill form, which explains why they use naloxone, what the overdose situation was like. It gives us a little bit more information to gather. And then they are given another kit of naloxone. Our measurements are independent variables implementation. We are creating a three-category independent variable to look at implementation across varying implementation levels across the cities and towns. So we're classifying it as early implementers, high implementers, and low implementers. Our dependent variables are fatal opioid overdose rates and non-fatal opioid overdose rates. Our covariates include age, gender, race. In Massachusetts, they also have a doctor shopping and prescription diversion variable that we're plugging into the model, and also access to substance abuse treatment in the different communities. We're using an interrupted time series analysis to be able to measure the varying degrees of program implementation across the cities between 2006 and 2009. And this just shows you the implementation levels. So as you can see, our early implementers are the blue lines, which is Boston and Cambridge. And then in December 2007, when the Massachusetts Department of Public Health expanded the program, the red line are our high implementers. So a lot of them quickly began enrolling people at a very high rate. And the green line are the low implementers, so people that might have a program but haven't really implemented it fully, or those communities that don't have access to a program. So far, our results. To date, almost 8,000 people in the state from 2006 to 2010 have been enrolled in the program. People in recovery, people in treatment, people using, these are considered active users, and then family and professionals are considered our non-users. So about 67% of people enrolled in the program are users, and about 33% are considered non-users. The average or mean age of our users are 34, and of family and professionals, it's about 43. For users, they're predominantly male, and that switches for non-users who are predominantly female that we enroll. We also enroll predominantly white into this program, which is consistent with heroin use and other opiate use in the state of Massachusetts. It's predominantly white individuals who are using. And about 80% of people enrolled who are users have ever witnessed an overdose in their life. We were also a little surprised to see almost half of our non-users have also reported witnessing an overdose at some point. Our enrollment locations, we predominantly enroll opioid users in detox, needle exchange programs, methadone clinics, drop-in centers, and non-users are predominantly enrolled at community meetings. And then in these other, in detox and needle exchange sites, that's generally the staff that are trained. And so that's why the red non-users lines. But family members are traditionally enrolled in community meetings. Okay, so to date, 755 opioid overdose reversals with naloxone have been documented through this program. Of the people that overdosed, 72% were male. And then asking the people who reversed the overdose who they reversed, about 80% was a friend or family member. We were a little surprised to see that almost 10% of people have reversed an overdose with a stranger. So most people are trained to carry the naloxone on them. So if they see someone on the street who's overdosed, they can reverse it. If they're in a venue where people are actively using but they don't know the person, then they are trained to reverse those overdoses as well. Most of overdoses occur in private settings. And about 34% of the time, 911 or other public safety have been contacted during an overdose. So our significance. So far, we have reached high-risk active users and non-users in the program. We also are finding some significance that we hope to find some significance to share with communities that are also implementing other OEND programs or are looking for programs or policies to implement. And also, since this was first implemented by a local public health agency and then moved on to a state agency, there's also some implications for local public health and state public health agencies who are thinking of implementing similar programs. We're also wanting to change some of the Massachusetts programs and policies. One of the things is to expand the number of sites and venues where naloxone is being distributed. Also to adapt and promote access to care. Right now, it's all just naloxone is fully being distributed through trained community health workers. So we're looking, since it's a prescription medication, if providers can prescribe it. We found some barriers with the pharmacy. Insurance companies will pay for naloxone, but they won't pay for the device to deliver the naloxone. So we're looking at changing regulations in order for maybe high-risk users with opiate prescriptions to also receive a naloxone prescription at the same time. Also looking at Good Samaritan laws. We know one barrier for people contacting 911 is fear of being arrested by police for drug possession. So passing a Good Samaritan law would provide immunity or limited liability for people who are in an overdose situation so that they wouldn't be arrested for drug possession. And also looking at liability protection for prescribers. So our next steps for research, we are waiting to get the 2009 and 2010 data from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. So once we have that data, we'll really be able to analyze the impact of the OEND program on overdose rates. And then we also want to see how the program is best adapted to specific populations, because right now it's one sort of general curriculum. So how can that be adapted to active users, methadone maintenance patients, emergency responders, public safety officials, people coming out of jail or detox. Thank you.